Are you insane?
They are insane!
In the hands of an adolescent,
it is a cellular peptide cake.
Inaccurate. But Matt Frostin.
It does like you.
Mr. Kim.
Hi, Christopher. I'm Nero.
How you doing, Mike?
Here's Spock. Whoops!
All right, so, hello everyone. My name is Mike McCafferty, and I have Aaron Moles here. And Aaron, I have a question for you.
Okay.
I posit this to you. I have a thought.
All right.
He will triumph who knows when to fight and when not to fight.
True.
You don't know the answer? I'm going to put an axe next to your head. Do you remember what it is?
You just did that, and I didn't flinch, so...
Okay, but what's the answer? Riker has an answer.
Yeah, fear.
Fear.
Yeah.
Fear is the true enemy and the only enemy. And here we are in December, and the only thing we have to fear is the last outpost. So my name is Mike McCafferty. This is our podcast called I Just Want to Talk About Star Trek. And as Kismet would happen, we got through Thanksgiving. I had a little bit of a head cold. I'm okay now, Aaron.
Good.
Actually, a little bit of an ear infection, which kind of waylaid me. And I'm sitting there like a couple of days ago watching BBC America, and Star Trek The Next Generation comes on with the fourth episode of the first season, The Last Outpost. And I saw this bizarre clip of Riker with a strange... If you follow the Facebook page... Now, I advocate you follow the Facebook page. You probably do. But that's where you get all the inside gossip. That's where you get the real scoop. This is what precipitated it. I posted this weird push-in on Riker having this innocuous phrase of, should we fire phasers? And it was a weird camera move. And I was so baffled by it that I took a iPhone video of it and posted it. And then Aaron immediately jumped on it, and he was so excited about this, and he posted Geordi being excited by Riker's suggestion and the engineering. And so I was like, okay, this is it. I watched the whole thing. I said, we got to talk about it. So I'm here with historian Aaron Moles.
I think it was historian. It could have been archivist.
Let's make you archivist.
That's more official. Yeah.
Yeah, let's make you like chief archivist.
All right.
Aaron Moles is here.
That. Yeah.
Yeah. Jason, I did ask chief engineer Jason McCarris to do this. He declined. The doctor, Kim Miller, is off in London right now, of all things. But Aaron was my first go-to because I knew he liked this episode. We're going to dig into this.
Yeah, like that. It's funny, I watched this about 9 months ago. I did like a big rewatch of like everything 9 months ago. And it's funny because this episode, I was a couple drinks in when this came on.
Yeah.
So when we got to that scene that I had to like Google, and of course, sure enough, there is a YouTube clip of that scene in engineering.
Yeah.
And like, I've been wanting to talk about this on the podcast, but it never came up. You were doing the movies and stuff, so there's no way to bring it up. And then you posted a clip from that episode, and it's just like, here we are. We have to make this.
This is the kismet of this moment. This episode demanded to be talked about. And so we haven't done a lot of first season episodes. I believe we've done Conspiracy. That might be the only one we've done.
Okay.
We haven't even done the pilot.
Wow.
So.
Okay.
So this is good that we're diving into this. And I had forgotten how bad this was.
Yeah, this is like the Room of Next Generation episodes.
Yeah, this is such a exploration of for them in this episode. They don't know what the hell they're doing in this.
Yeah.
It is so confusing. And it's so bad, and so many characters are out of character that it's fun. So, all right. So let's just. I don't have a lot to dive into, but
I do have a question. Did you do any background?
I've done no background. Okay. So you set the table for us.
I don't know. Well, I was just curious. No, I don't have any background. I was just curious if this was the first thing they ever shot. If they shot this before Farpoint, because it feels like this is the first time any of these people have ever talked to each other.
I feel like this is probably...
I'm guessing they shot Farpoint first.
But yeah, I think they had to... Look at us. We're just...
Let's look this up. Let's go on a journey together.
Let's see. The Last Outpost, TNG.
I'm guessing, yeah, it's probably not, but it just feels that way.
Yeah, it is definitely... early in production.
And the production feels really weird, too.
The production feels weird. The music is off. you know, you check Memory Alpha is generally the place to check because
they
have, like, I found, like, if you're going to look up stuff, you have IMDb, you have Wikipedia, and Memory Alpha.
Yeah.
Memory Alpha tends to be the one that has the deepest of deep dives. Wikipedia kind of gets edited a little weird.
I do know that the guy who wrote this is, he's one of Gene Roddenberry's friends.
Right. All right. Well, I don't have, there's a lot there. When was this shot? So, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter when this was shot. It does feel like it's like the first or second to be shot, and then maybe put out of order, and probably put closer because there. I mean, there are some special effects. Maybe I'm wrong because
There's actually some really good special effects.
In
this one. Well, I mean, I didn't watch the HD version, but like when Data is sitting at that table with the Chinese finger trap, they have like this 3D. Like they almost never use this for the rest of the series too.
Now you just called him Data.
Oh, Data. That's right. I think, wasn't there a thing like Jean-Luc Picard actually changed the way we pronounce that word?
Yeah, because he said Data.
Yeah.
He was the first person to, we were talking about this, he was the first person to pronounce it, and then it became like this rule, it's like whoever pronounces it first, that's what it's going to be.
Yeah.
And Brent Spiner was like, I thought it was Data.
Yeah.
and then of course we had Pulaski say Data, and then everyone got angry at her. So... We have no information about this. We are not doing a deep dive on this. This is a dumb dive. This is a dumb dive on this because this is a dumb episode. It says Will Wheaton does not appear in this episode. Which
they talk about it.
They talk about it, which is really funny. And she's okay with him dying alone in his corner.
That's a weird conversation in general. Yeah.
All right, let's just kind of...
We'll get to that.
We'll kind of like softly plow through this. So we start out with them chasing down the Ferengi, like right off the bat.
Right.
Like they're already, like, we're already in the middle of a cool adventure. Like, it's a very promising start, right? Because it's like, oh, we're after the Ferengi, and who are these guys?
Right. It's the first time anybody's seen them, ever.
Yeah. And so we see their ship, which is this brown. What do you think about the Ferengi ship?
I like it. It fits them. It's got that tan kind of aesthetic. It's got, you know, it's got almost got things reminiscent of earlobes.
That's true. It does look like a Ferengi in some ways.
Got a consistent aesthetic, I guess, is what I'm going for.
I always thought, let me see, I'm gonna back that up. To me, and this is really weird, but it looks a little bit like the bridge with this arcing.
Oh, yeah.
Like the arcing brown, you know, wood panel in the back. I was like, that looks like the bridge. It looks like they were just like...
I did that Wikipedia. I think Probert designed that.
Okay.
Yeah. So...
Who did?
Andrew Probert, I think his name is.
Okay.
He's the guy who designed the bridge, I think, and everything.
Oh, okay. Well, gosh, I don't know that. So,
I don't want to misinform. I'm going to get my phone out.
Yeah, this is called the Google Dive tonight. This is going to be a bad episode, but that's okay.
Oh, it's going to be a great episode.
It's going to be great once we get into it. All right, so you look that up while I continue on. So they're chasing down the Ferengi, which looks like the bridge of the Enterprise. I always thought that. They have very little information on the Ferengi, but the Ferengi have stolen a T9 thing. I can't remember what it's called.
Yeah, I don't remember the MacGuffin.
Such a MacGuffin. We never see it. We don't know exactly what it does, but they stole it from someplace, and now they're running away with it.
This is another thing Probert designed, which is it has the same kind of arch aesthetic to it.
Oh, what is that from? Is that from Next Generation? Or?
I think it's unused.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I hope you guys can see that.
I'll post it on the
We'll post it on the Facebook page. Yeah. All your answers will be in the Facebook page. So they arrive, they follow the Ferengi ship, and the Ferengi ship goes to this uncharted planet. Planetoid system. There's 11 planets in the system, and then it just sort of stops, and then it slowly turns around, and they're like, oh no! And then and then it shoots a couple weird energy weapons. Remember
that? And I remember it's a wide shot, and there's no reaction from anywhere. There's no camera. There's no shakiness, and Worf just kind of turns around as it hits them.
Yeah, it's so weird. Yeah, it's just like they just shoot this strange energy weapon. Gosh, what do I know?
it happens right away.
And then, is it right off the top?
Yeah. It has no impact whatsoever on anything.
Let's see if we can play this here.
Dead silence, dead air.
We're going to fill this.
This is the shot, yeah.
Yeah, okay, so...
Damage report.
Shields holding.
I mean, nothing happened. You can go back 10 seconds.
Fusion generator and batteries down by...
Yeah, so the Ferengis, yeah, so the Ferengis are, they've stopped at this planetoid, and Worf in his weird, like, red outfit with, like, super tight, like, hairdo there, is sitting there, and then they kind of, like, backfire this thing. All right, here it is.
Correct, sir. We are no doubt advanced in some areas, they in others.
Showing another power surge, sir.
They are firing on us.
Like Riker just sits down. There's no reaction to that whatsoever.
Yeah, it's like they shoot this strange, like the thing that comes out of it, it's like this weird 70s Tron-like thing where like the entire screen gets filled up with like circles, and then it looks like a strange white photon torpedo hits them, and there's no damage, they don't shake around, but their shields are being drained or something. It's so confusing.
There's some power drainage thing that drives the episode, yeah.
And then they don't do anything about that.
Right.
Like, Picard is so even-keeled about it. He's like, well, let's see where this goes.
Yeah.
Like, you're being fired upon, like, repeatedly, and he's like, and who is it, like, Troy's like, well, we were chasing them. That's why they're firing. It's like, they stole something from us. This is so weird.
And I think she's sitting, but every time she has to say something, I think she stands up every time she has a line.
Let's see if she... I don't see her standing there, but I bet she, because...
I guess it's all the cold open.
Let's just play this random clip here and see what she's...
I feel like she stands up and sits down every time she has a line.
Riker has a weird cross.
I'm sensing nothing from them, sir. Which could mean they can shield their thoughts and emotions from others.
Still makes it our move.
Sir, they may know as little about us as we do about them.
Except that they know that they've got us in deep trouble. If so, then the question becomes, what do they do with that knowledge?
That is such a spinning of, like, nothing happens in that conversation, right? Yeah. Like, they already have us.
Right.
The one interesting thing about this is that this becomes canon with Troy can't read Ferengi.
Okay.
Because I think that is carried out throughout.
All right.
Because as I recall, like, there's a couple other times that she can't read them. I don't know.
It reminds me of Star Wars, The Phantom Menace. I'm not going to go too off.
I know, with Watto, right?
Yeah, yeah, right. Jedi mind tricks don't work on them.
That's right, yeah. But this was before.
He's like that, he's only driven by money, you know?
Watto and the Ferengi are pretty much, eventually become the same.
Yeah.
Here, they're these weird, like, they're trying to make them so menacing, but there's these, like...
Yeah, and I remember watching this as a kid, first run,
mm-hmm.
and, like, I remember thinking that the Ferengi were going to be, like, their new Klingons.
Right, yeah.
Because they're so monstrous when you first see them, and they're shot in a way that's, like, really imposing.
They tried everything they could to make them as menacing as possible, and it just failed repeatedly because they cast a bunch of short actors.
Yeah.
Like, these little short dudes.
And that's kind of, I guess, the story, is you get down there and you see them, and they're...
Yeah, they're just these little guys. That's one of the stories they're trying to get across.
Yeah.
All right. So the power shuts down on the Enterprise, and they feel as though they're sitting ducks. I think Riker says they have us right where they want them. You know, like wait, they have us right where they want them. It's all of these lines seem like they're written by like a committee of computers, like algorithmically putting them all together.
Yeah, it feels like an AI, like a Google trained AI wrote this episode.
Like this predictive text of what every character should say.
Have you heard about the Kirk Spock chatbot thing, where there's like they type in like the first few lines and the computer finishes out the conversation?
Oh yeah. I post on Facebook
maybe
a couple of times. Yeah, I did that. Yeah, a couple of them. They're so ridiculous.
Yeah,
you can go on the Facebook and see a couple of these weird. You can type in like, you know, Captain Picard says, and then it'll like somehow like come up with this whole little story.
Yeah.
Sometimes it'll actually do it in play form, which is interesting.
Right.
You have to kind of get the right.
Yeah, I think that's the Kirk Spock one.
Yeah, I did a Kirk Spock and I did a Picard one, but actually the Picard Kirk one's really fun.
But yeah, that thing probably wrote this from the future.
I hope so. At least that would make it make sense.
Yeah.
All right, so the ship is like slowly losing power. They don't understand why. And so then they call down to engineering, and for some reason, no one responds in engineering, which is the most baffling thing, because all the lights are working.
They didn't have a chief engineer yet, really. I mean, they have, like, two different chief engineers.
They had, like, nine chief engineers. They had the white guy with the beard. They had the Pakistani guy. And then I thought they had a woman for one of them. They had, like...
Okay, yeah, maybe there's at least three, yeah.
Yeah. So they can't talk to them, so they send Geordi down there. for whatever reason. Geordi go down there.
Right, and he's not the engineer yet.
He's not the engineer, but he's like the navigator. Yeah. They're like, you go That's down true. There.
Yeah, he's the blind pilot.
He's
yeah.
the blind pilot.
Yeah.
You have the least opportunity to know what's going on here. Right. You go down there. So they send him down there. And then this is one of the other things that precipitated is when Geordi gets so excited. Let's play this little clip here.
See, we push and they push back with equal force, sir.
I feel like we're going to have to go frame by frame on this.
Yeah. We will definitely stop.
What's our acceleration delay between slow reverse impulse and top warp speed?
Well, that's 0.300 milliseconds. There's... I see where you're going. We ship down, then kick hard into warp 9. Yeah, come back, fight. Woo-wee!
Can we do it, Geordi?
That's after it's done, sir. I want a slow reverse engine drop-off over 5 minutes.
So weird.
We'll show them what this baby can do, sir.
Give me everything you got, LaForge.
Aye, sir.
Wow, okay. All right, so this...
Lots to unpack.
There is so much going on there. Okay, so we have Shouty Riker, who is, like, so shouty in this episode. He's like Spock from the pilot.
Yeah. You know,
like, deflector screen's on!
This is Spock here.
Yeah. Yeah, he's so... There's like he's still trying to feel this out.
Yeah.
And we have Geordi still trying to feel this out, right? Yeah. So
it's funny because the way this character settles, Geordi, he's like the nerd. He's more the low-key kind of nerdy character.
Yeah.
And this one he's like 180 degrees from that.
He's trying out like, what if I was like super excitable?
Yeah.
And this is his super excitable try, and he'll never do this again. So we'll start up again. Let's see. So we'll go back. I apologize for our slow internet speed here.
Yeah.
We're at 99%. Okay, here we go.
The force of the Ferengi. See, we push and they push back with equal force, sir.
All right, so Riker takes this long walk. He's walking, walking, walking.
This is building to something.
And he stares at the he stares at the warp drive, the warp core, like, and then he somehow gleans something from that long walk.
Yeah.
And then he gets the idea.
Yeah. And then the music's so big too. I mean, it's all over season one. Like they even played like the Next Generation theme at points during season one.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
The theme song kicks in, especially in the pilot. I think during Saucer Separation they play with.
You're right. Yeah.
It's like the early Bond movies and they play the Bond theme just out of nowhere.
Yeah.
But yeah, like here the music's just super big and it's, yeah.
It's very dramatic.
Yes.
Which I don't mind because later on in the show they really tamped down the music. Like,
yeah.
They call it what, like elevator music or carpet music? I can't remember. There's some term they have for it. I can't remember what it was because it was such ambient music. Like if you get like, oh, I got Dennis McCarthy's, you know, music soundtrack from season 6, it's like that could be season 4, season right. 7, who knows? Yeah. It's all just, you know, some strings, but this he gets a little bit of a, you know,
what's our acceleration delay between slow reverse impulse and top warp speed?
Well, that's 0.300 milliseconds. There's I see where you're going. We ship down then kick hard into warp 9. Yeah, come back, fight. Woo-wee.
Okay. Now, we've seen... So, this is proto-Geordi, where he's, yeah, you know...
He's feeling it out.
He does have those moments where he's like, oh, I see where you're going, and then sure. We shoot up. Like, he's done that before. Like, I think when, like, the booby trap episode.
Okay.
Like, he gets into that, but he's never said woo-wee ever before, ever again. Woo-wee is pretty special, and especially reading it in the text here, it's pretty outstanding. So he says, woo-wee.
Can you do it, Geordi?
Ask me after it's done, sir.
Oh, that's just so bad. Ask me after it's done, sir. Yeah, it's such a badass thing there.
This is what got him the promotion.
I know. They're like, hey, you know what, Picard? He's really good down there. But Riker didn't see this part.
That's sexual harassment. Now,
so Geordi goes over this engineer, this dude is sitting in engineering,
and that guy looks nothing like anybody that would be cast on any Star Trek episode after this.
Yeah, he's like a bald dude. He's like in his like late 30s, maybe early 40s, He is not like a physically fit prototype. I mean, he's in okay shape, but
yeah.
Like Barkley is the closest you're ever going to get.
Right.
Like Barkley and maybe Picard. Maybe this is a stand-in. Picard's stand-in. Who knows? Yeah. But Geordi puts his hands on both shoulders. He does like a Joe Biden kind of thing.
Yes, yeah.
Right? Where
he's shoulder
massages him.
Minutes. We'll show him what this baby can do, sir.
Give me everything you got, LaForge.
And that's clearly ADR.
It's clearly ADR, but it is completely commensurate with shouty Riker in this one.
Yes.
Riker's so in shouty
episode,
in this.
Yeah.
Geordi gives a thumbs up. He gives more thumbs up actually when he comes back on the bridge, but you can't see it.
Uh-huh.
He's like, how are we doing, LaForge? And he does like this, but Picard like obscures him. He gives him a thumbs up.
Aye, sir.
And then he goes back. And he just about puts his hand on the guy's shoulder. He's going to go back to the well, right? Because you know he's a predator and he can't help himself. So that's just a fabulous moment. And then we kind of get in this long, slow.
Oh, and then yeah, the scene where they're on the bridge. It's the same people talking. And
yeah.
There's some extras, but like.
Yeah.
There's nothing they talk about in the ready room that they wouldn't be able to talk about on the bridge.
They have, I wrote this one, they have a conference evaluation, which sounds like a redundant thing, right?
Yeah.
You go into the conference to have an evaluation. That's kind of oxymoronic.
Yeah.
But they go in there and they basically say nothing. They're like, what should we do? I don't know. What do you think we should do? It's up to you. And then they just leave. And then, like, they kind of just... Well, it's Troy, actually, who comes up with, like, you should probably, like, come clean with them or give them something.
Sure. Because they're all going to die.
Yeah, well, they don't know, they don't know that yet.
Okay.
But then that's when... because they are losing power, and she's like, well, you've got to come clean with
them.
Oh,
and then there's that shot with Riker and Picard where they're talking.
Well, let's just play this.
Yeah.
Why don't we just play? This is just going to be kind of an all-skate here. Here she is. Yeah. All right, hold on. This is Troy being the voice of reason because no one else has any ideas.
Yeah.
He literally goes up to Geordi and says, Geordi, and Geordi just shakes his head. Like, it's really weird. He's like, mm-mm.
Don't they know that they're traitors at this point? Sorry. Don't they know that they're traitors at this point?
That they're traitors?
Yeah. Like, you know,
oh, traitors. Oh, yeah. Yeah, they do. They call them Yankee traitors Yankee, yeah.
Yeah, so they go through this whole scene just to come to that conclusion.
Right. Oh, and they had that weird scene with, like, red, white, and blue, you know?
That also is one of those things that resonated to me as a kid, because it's like, they're talking about us in such quaint terms.
Yes.
As if, you know, just the idea that they don't have flag. Well, they have the Federation flag, but they don't have, like, these...
Yeah, they have... Because, like... Because, like, oh, we don't have very much information on it. Most of it's contradictory. And then Riker's like, well, what do you know? And he's like, well, they're referred to as Yankee traitors, like red, white, and blue, Uncle Sam. Or so and Riker says, oh, it's like my ancestors.
Yeah.
Well, you're not a Yankee. You're from Alaska. I mean, that's so weird. And then Picard has that weird speech of, like, of flags where it's like red, white, and blue. Of course, France would be blue, white, and red.
And it's this weird close-up of him just thinking about France.
He's so excited about France. He does say merde in here as well. He does swear merde.
Like,
he says say shit in French here. All right, well, let's listen to Troy.
Yeah, we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Since then, all they've done is search our computers, trying to learn who and what we are.
Good point, Counsel.
Let's talk to them.
It's been tried. No response.
But did we tell them anything they wanted to hear?
What does that mean?
The Forge.
See, he just like shakes his head no. It's just like, why would you not script that? He just like shakes his head. And he's facing away from the camera. It's almost like it's like a body double or something.
Right.
It's so weird, right?
It must be then, huh? Did he?
No, I think it's him. I just think they just like, I don't know what that was.
One interesting thing about this scene, yeah, we're getting to it.
Okay.
Is if you look, they're using glass in this.
Yeah.
And they stop. The only other time they use glass after, I think, season one, I think you see a light in one of these shots, too.
You can see like a little bit of light flare on it, and you can see his reflection.
Yeah.
Like, I did notice that. It's really weird.
They stopped doing that after, I think, after maybe...
Like season one, or right now. I
mean. And the only other time is in Generations and Whoopi Goldberg's
we've covered
other...
Oh, yeah, you can see the kind of like...
Blatantly,
yeah,
like,
it's so weird.
Are there other options that you want to
have? Oh, they do have a table.
The only one remaining is the one that needs no conversation. The one we must avoid. Sir. One that leads to total annihilation.
I don't understand what that even means. Yeah. So like, no one has any ideas. Deanna says, well, we should talk to them and tell them what they want to hear, which, like, what are you talking about? He goes to LaForge. LaForge just shakes his head. And then Riker says, is there something else you want to look at? And he's like, well, the only other thing is total annihilation. It's like, what? You're going to blow each other up? It's such a bizarre... Oh, yeah, this is... All right, so
that's a weird cut too.
Yeah, there's so many weird cuts in this because LaForge is already back at his station. Everyone's back at their station.
And Riker's right there, and he just walked out.
You're right. So there's a lot of back and forth, and gosh, it's a good 4 minutes where they trick the Ferengi into thinking that. Well, the Ferengi think that. It's such a weird balance where he's like, the way he words it very specifically, I want to talk about terms of surrender.
Uh-huh.
And then the Ferengi think that they want them to surrender. And so they say, okay, we will surrender. And then Picard's like, oh, you want to surrender. And then so they play it off like, oh, okay, we accept your terms of surrender. But it's like, I've never seen the Federation act like that. It's so out of character. It's like, we accept your surrender. Ha ha ha.
No, that's why that's the chatbot thing. It just feels like...
Yeah. They just keep on going back and forth.
What do you think?
They're so... We're 18 minutes into this and nothing has happened. They chase these guys...
They're still at the standstill,
And they go to a standstill and nothing happens. But then finally, we get... Like, they finally agree to actually talk to each other on the screen. This should have been like minute three.
Yeah,
but instead we've got these goofy Ferengi. So
on you as well.
Agreed, Demontar. You should be able to view us now. Are we on your screen?
Yes. The ugliness of the Uman was not an exaggeration. I do not know how your twisted alien culture has paralyzed our vessel, but I concede your Enterprise is superior. We will return your worthless T9 device. And we offer the lives of our second officers as required by the Ferengi code.
Okay, so this is the first time we ever see the Ferengi. It looks like they're like in an Apple commercial, right? It's like a blinding white light behind them. Like, what does your bridge look like?
I think that's kind of cool, actually, that they just have this... Yeah, it's different.
Yeah, I mean, they said that they were trying to intimidate them, like, mm-hmm. Because they're changing the voice, and maybe they changed the background, but it certainly is... It's so... There, like, that is kind of cool in some respects. The idea that it's so, first of all, his face is gigantic.
Yeah,
on
the way
screen.
It's shot is real. It's the only thing like that is like when the Nero and in the movie where you see the giant face and then
and he's like he's looking around at everybody. Yeah, that's the one thing that's kind of cool. In HD though, you can see like the little lines of their makeup it kind of blends in. But otherwise, that's not too bad. So they banter back and forth. Oh gosh, it just keeps on going. Oh, the kids are in the ready room.
That's right. Yeah.
There's kids in the ready room. Oh, let's see.
They had to sprinkle that in just to remind us.
Yeah. The Riker shoos them away.
And Riker's good with kids and Picard is bad with kids. They're setting.
Yeah.
That was a very important dynamic early on where Riker was like the cool guy and Picard was like the high school principal.
Yeah.
You Pola. You know this area is off limits. Come on.
Matthew Pola.
Boys will be boys, Captain. For sure.
What is going on here?
Well, he's the good cop.
So. Yeah, but that has nothing to do with anything.
No.
Like, it's just kind of like, oh, let's just make sure we remember to show that this is a family ship.
Yeah.
It is such a shakedown episode where they're trying out all sorts of stuff. Like, kids are going to play in the ready room.
Right. Wesley getting on the bridge was such a big deal.
Yeah.
Just a couple episodes earlier.
And now they're just kind of like wandering on. I don't know what the hell they're playing with, but are they going to give that back? I mean, they're just kind of screwing around. So then we have this kind of long sequence with the T'Kan Empire.
See, that's actually kind of... I don't think they ever use that holographic space map.
No, they have a holographic... In this episode, a holographic display pops up in the middle of the ready room table. Or the conference room table. And it's so cool. This has to be redone, right? I think this was all redone.
I said I did no research, but I actually did look up some of the stuff afterwards.
Okay.
There's a YouTube video that shows the SD to HD comparison.
I saw that too.
And it looks the same.
It's the same, but I can't believe...
Because it looks so advanced for 1987.
Because right now we're looking at this, and it's like this floating, spinning star chart, and it just looks so amazing, even in 2019. I have a hard time believing that 1987 can produce that.
Yeah, me too.
Maybe they went back and got the original, because these were shot on film. Right. Deep Space Nine, they can't do anything with, because all the effects are all burned into tape.
Yeah, that
Voyager too. And then Enterprise, they separated from that again. But Deep Space Nine, you'll never see, like, very much of a... I mean, because they have to go back and...
They have to redo all the effects.
Every single effect where there's, like, a human in it or whatever. They can do all the CG stuff, all the ships fighting, but...
Yeah.
But this looks great. This is so bafflingly good, this sequence. And then, of course, it's marred by the fact that Data gets his finger stuck in
it. I know, that's all you care about in this scene.
A Chinese finger trap.
Cool display, and it's buttoned by Data with a Chinese finger trap.
Which is strange, because it is analogous to what has happened to them in some ways. They've been trapped in this finger trap.
Yep.
You know, but no one ever points it out beyond just the stupidity of the fact that he's stuck in it.
Yeah.
Like, that metaphor is right there. Oh, so... Like, the Enterprise... I mean, because honestly, the Enterprise and the Ferengi vessel should have been like, okay, if we work together, we can get out of this.
Right.
You know, this Chinese finger trap, all we have to do is work together, and then we can separate ourselves from this.
Yeah.
Never touch upon that. Instead, it delves into this weird kind of trial, and then the Ferengi are a bunch of jackasses.
Yeah.
But, like, that's right there. That's one... Like, that's why, like, I think I was telling Aaron before that this episode feels like a bunch of... ideas, and we talk about algorithms, but it's a bunch of plot ideas that are never seen through. You know, I mean, like,
it feels like the first draft, and they didn't
refine
it. Yeah,
first draft with a bunch of other weird stuff in, because it starts off a little bit like Arena from like the Star Trek, the original one, where like you're chasing down the Gorn, and it's like, okay, you guys got to come down to this planet, you're going to fight it out, but then that doesn't quite happen, and then they're all dying on the ship, and it's like, what is this? All right, so he gets his fingers caught in a finger trap. They figure out that Dakan...
It doesn't... Yeah, Arena leads to something cool. This leads to something really kind of lame.
Yeah, it does. And who was it who was like... I think it's Troy again who was like, you know, Captain, we've been thinking so much about the Ferengi. Maybe we haven't been thinking about the planet as much. Like, oh, you're right. Let's send a probe down there and figure out what's going on.
Yeah.
This ship's sensors are also really wacky. Because, like, how would you not realize that your energy is being sapped... to the planet below.
Right.
It's such a strange... It's... Again, like, they, like...
They can't... I mean, they're losing power, so maybe they can't read the planet. I don't know.
But wouldn't that be a thing you'd do? It's like, oh my God, we're losing all this energy. It must be from them, but we should send a probe down there. Maybe, you know... But Deanna should be the person to point that out.
Yeah.
It should be Geordi,
right.
Riker, or someone else.
Someone with technical...
Someone else. I just want anyone else than her. All right, so they agree... more talking. They like at the 26-minute mark. Is there something you want to look at that or?
I think we pretty much covered the cinematography of that.
The super close up of Daemon Tarr, who actually does reappear along with another one of the Ferengi in Rascals.
Okay,
Daemon Tarr, the character, shows up in Rascals. Interestingly enough. Another one of the only thing I looked up on this is what happened to the Ferengi, because we all know Armin became the head Ferengi in Deep Space Nine.
Right.
The Daemon Tarr guy returned as Daemon Tarr in Rascals. One of his underlings is actually the Romulan ambassador in Star Trek VI.
Oh, okay.
Like such a weird like, and now I'm back. You know, it's like 10 years later, but so they kind of reveal their subterfuge to the Ferengi, which is kind of embarrassing, and then they decide to beam down together to try to figure out what's going on this planet. And they beam down to this weird, goofy, crystalline city here, a crystalline world. We should just...
They do all these big establishing shots when they get there, too.
Yeah. Which it doesn't look too bad. I mean, maybe it's all reconditioned. Like, there's, like, weird fog, like waterfall fog.
Yeah, just the landscape of waterfalls. That looks kind of cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And then we find Data sitting on a crystal.
Yeah.
This is the first weird...
This gets really weird.
Everything about this is so bizarre. He's just, like, standing on this crystal, and then Riker's like...
This is probably the closest thing that looks like the original... Star Trek. Like, I could buy that planet would exist in TOS.
Yeah, this is a cool... I mean, the set is really cool. I mean, these giant crystals are just sitting there glowing at times, and Riker's looking all weird, and then you have Data just sort of standing on it, and then Riker finds him.
most intriguing, sir. I assume a problem of inaccurately transmitted program coordinates due to the force field around the ship, sir. Are we alone, sir?
So he basically just said that I don't like he got transported into weird space or something, and like a weird, but he's just standing on this crystal. Like, did he fall on the crystal? Did he beam on the crystal?
I'm assuming he beamed onto it.
Yeah, but then he's just like standing there, just like not doing anything.
Because everybody else beams in weird ways too. All
right, so we'll just keep on going. This is the best thing. So they've been looking around in this crazy planet, and then they find Geordi.
Yeah.
So I had to point out that there's crystals, there's lightning storms, it's desolation everywhere, but there's a shrub. In the middle of nowhere. It's like,
we got to put something there.
The shrub, it looks nice, you know? That will grow.
Crystalline. Mostly inert. Nothing to write home about.
Nothing to write home about.
That's another gag.
Yeah.
Slang, sir. I did use it correctly, did I not? They've got to be around here somewhere.
All right, so that's such a weird line. Like, Data suddenly trying out slang in the middle of a mission.
Yeah.
Chinese finger traps. He's like, he's this like dumb child, you know? He doesn't know how to do anything.
Was the Chinese finger trap explained? He just has it in that scene, right?
I think the kids left it there.
Okay, that makes more sense.
Yeah, I think they left it there.
That's why they're there. Okay, there's an actual plot reason for that.
Right, right.
I didn't get that by watching it.
But, like, there's nothing tying those kids into, like, a rationale. Like there's no metaphor for it. There's no reason. It's just like, oh, these kids left them here. And then later on, at the very end, like, there's, like, two of them.
Yeah, no, there's, yeah.
Like, two or three of them.
Right.
And, like, they all have it on the bridge. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Like, if they would have leaned into that, I would have been okay. But right. Instead, it's just like, oh, these kids playing in our, you know, conference evaluation room.
They appear when they need them to.
Yeah. And then they just disappear and dispense this plot item here. All right. So they're walking around, and then they finally are going to find Geordi. He's hanging upside down, and I want you to listen to this dialogue.
Yeah.
This is the absolute best.
What's that?
Do I look conscious? What are you doing? I'm resting, sir.
What?
My foot stuck. Up there. I'm materialized upside down above the planet's surface.
Tricorder's useless, sir.
I don't... What? That is so weird. So they're sitting there and they find him hanging upside down. And then he runs up to him and then Riker says, are you conscious? And then Geordi says, do I look conscious? Which the answer should be no, right? I mean, you're hanging upside down, limp. And then he says, what are you doing? And then he says, resting, sir. Like, what is going on here?
He's trapped. There's a million things he could have said that would make way more sense.
It's just strange. It's like haiku or something. Yeah. It's so, and then, like, I materialized above the planet's surface and my foot got stuck. I just imagine, like, 6,000 feet above the planet's surface, right? Yeah. Like, instead of just, like, it's so strange. Like,
maybe they wanted to do that, like, have him start in the air, but then they couldn't shoot it. Like, he started in the air and then got caught in a tree.
Yeah, like, that would make sense.
Yeah, and that would be an interesting action sequence. Not too, like...
Yeah.
It feels like something out of a J.J. Abrams movie, where it's like, hey, let's have something interesting happen.
Right.
Fall from the sky. But maybe they wanted that, but they couldn't shoot it or something.
I guess. Instead, we have this kind of, like, he's hanging from some little crevasse or something with his foot hanging out of it. It's like an overhang.
Yeah.
And he fell, and his foot got stuck, and he's very comfortable there.
Yeah, yeah, that's the thing. I'm resting, sir.
He's quipping. And then instead of them getting him down, like...
Communication's gone, too. Fortunately, you did not break
Data.
Mm-hmm. And so he... Data, who's that? And it's the Ferengi.
Oh, I love these laser webs.
Who are you?
So, Riker says, who are you?
Yeah.
Well, who the hell else are they going to be? Like, they're Ferengi. No one recognizes these guys. And then instead of answering, they shoot.
Can we just see what he's stuck on?
Yeah, so, all right. So, he was stuck on, like, some little weird overhang. This is so outstanding again, too. So we'll just go back to this.
I do like the way Data is kind of laying down with his arms.
Right, he kind of goes like a toy soldier. Yeah. So these guys use their laser whips and shoot energy at them. It hits Geordi, who is the least dangerous out of all three of them. Yeah. I don't know why he decided to hit Geordi. But it loosens him adequately from the rocks. So he shoots him. And so his foot is hanging from a tree. So he's actually yep. hanging from one of those outlying trees that's growing out of there. Riker has kind of like a baseball umpire, yeah, Little League baseball.
I wonder if he had back problems. Oh, it could have been the original uniforms.
Oh, could be, yeah.
They switched largely because of back issues.
That's true. Well, he's always had back issues. That was his problem. He had big time back issues. That's why he does the Riker maneuver. He steps over the chairs.
Okay.
Because he couldn't, you know, because his back hurts so much. It's such a weird thing.
Yeah.
So they shoot Data. Data falls into... they shoot Geordi. Geordi falls into Data's arms, and the electricity transfers over to Data, and then a little bit transfers over to Riker, and then watch as Riker slowly falls down. He just kind of kneels down a little bit, goes down on all fours, then he kind of sits up again. Probably because he does have back issues right there.
Yeah, for sure.
But then he face plants. He gets hit again by this laser whip and face plants. And then we go out for the commercial break.
Captain's log supplemental. It is now 6 hours since our away team beamed down to the planet's surface. On the Enterprise,
this is so weird.
This scene.
Rapidly worsening. Ordinarily, with reserve power alone, we could maintain life support for several months. But the force holding us has closed down all engines and is draining our reserve power too.
All right, so a lot to unpack there. First of all, it's been 6 hours since they landed, which is just bizarre that they would do nothing in that point in time. Not send out a shuttlecraft, not trying to do anything.
Right.
Meanwhile, the power is being drained very, very tactically. I mean, like, there's still some lights on. There's still some stuff going on. They've had this happen in the original series, like when Vol was draining their power, you know, from the Enterprise, or when the immunity factor, when they're all being drained of their life force and everyone's dying. This is just weird that they can't keep life support or heat going on. Because they're all going to freeze to death. That's right. The thing. They're all run out of oxygen.
Both.
Which, running out of oxygen actually takes a while to do, especially in a giant ship like that.
Right.
If it's cold, just light something on fire, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like all those cushions, man, just light that on fire. That's what I always think.
No, they couldn't afford that in the budget, though. They couldn't burn.
We can't burn anything. Yeah. Well, remember Sulu? He lit like a rock on. You know.
Shooting a phaser.
Yeah, you can do that. Just do that. But for some reason, they're handing out blankets.
There's plenty of wood paneling on the ship to burn.
The bow in the front of the ship just burns.
They should
that sucker.
Be tearing down that arch on the bridge.
I know. That's what they should be doing. That's what I would do. This isn't like the Day After Tomorrow, where the cold literally rushes after you.
Yeah.
Remember that movie where like cold is coming like to them and
they're running from cold.
In the New York Library, and they had to shut the door before the cold got there. And they're burning books. Like Jesus, man. You guys, this is such a weird. All right, so. Oh, and then there's the... Okay, so... Is this where they have this conversation? No, not yet. Okay. So then meanwhile, back on the planet, I guess Riker and company have been asleep for 6 hours. Because they just landed. Right? Just beams down. He finds Data. He finds Geordi. They get knocked out within the course of 3 minutes.
Right.
So those energy whips put them out for like 5 hours and 40 minutes easily.
Yeah, and there's probably some downtime when they get down there too. So maybe...
Yeah, there's maybe a little bit of time.
Yeah.
So anyway, so the Ferengi like bundle them all up and capture Worf, which we don't see, which seems like a
being... Oh yeah, Worf and Yar are there too. Yeah.
Well, Worf like he's just like being dragged into with the pile of them. Armin Shimmerman has the communicator, which is made out of gold, as we find out.
Right.
Which they're so excited about.
Who is more trustworthy, Mordak? It looks like gold. Tastes like gold.
It is gold.
It's a planet.
It's nothing to
compared to what our captain will do when he finds out you've broken our landing party agreement.
Okay, so weird. Now, first of all, cast no aspersions to Armin or the rest of the Ferengi. They do the best they can with his weird roles. And actually, Armin's in that line, he's pretty badass.
Yeah, no, he's great.
He's really digging into it. It's like his Shakespearean background. Yeah. He's so good in this. Just like being very, you know, manipulative. But this weird moment where he says, looks gold like gold, tastes like gold, and then you hear off camera, it is gold. Like that's supposed to be a dramatic reply. They get ready to whip Riker, and then Riker crouches down with his arms out as though he's... I don't know, like I say, like doing some sort of parachute maneuver where like he's like
as lightning is crashing.
As lightning is crashing, he sort of like squats down like some sort of like simian or something. Like I guess because the lightning or something.
It's a defensive maneuver. Maybe that's how you counter the whip.
That's the
true
Riker.
You get low.
That's what he knew that the whip had like a height minimum. Yes. It could only be 3
that's
feet.
That's why
you
got Geordi, because Geordi was up higher.
That's right. So he bent down. That's the true Riker maneuver. He bends down, and then the rest of the conversation, he's talking to them like in this squat position. It's so strange.
It's got to be the back issues.
I think it's back issues. They fight again. Like everyone wakes up at the exact same time. They all fight, and then for some reason, Tasha shows up with a phaser, and they're completely either because they've never seen a woman with clothes on, or because they just know that it's a phaser. They completely back down.
Yeah, I think it's because it's the woman with clothes on.
Probably, yeah. But like, it totally stuns them into submission.
It's amazing to me how much Ferengi lore came out of this episode.
there's a lot of stuff which does hold as canon in this, for sure. Like, the whole Daemon thing, the fact they can't, read minds.
The gold thing. Gold.
Yeah, although they don't mention that it's pressed Latinum, I think.
No,
they,
not
yeah.
yet. Yeah.
yeah. But the idea that they are, like, that's the thing that really stuck. It's that, like, they're really into, like, oh, the gold and the acquisition of this stuff. But we never see these weird foam laser whips again,
I don't think so. Yeah. I want to say they have them, but they never use them again.
I think they had one more time. There might have been one more episode they had them.
I don't know.
Maybe. I think I had one of those characters who had one of those whips. It was really funny because it just like, I think it was curled. So like he could never like use it like as a like, aha, I've got you. Like he'd extend his non-bendable elbow arm and his like whip would be curled. So it's like, well, I guess, at least like when the other characters had their phasers, they were always pointing.
Right.
Pointing at the person with the whip. It was like in mid-whip.
Yeah, it came off, yeah.
All right, so is this where he does the weird thing? Let me see if he does.
Sickening.
Oh, okay. All right, so
I think they approach her.
Yeah.
After,
yeah.
Have diverted the reserve power.
All right, so this is so weird. This is the weirdest part of the entire episode.
Okay, Wesley's not in this episode, so they have to address it.
Yeah.
Is there anything else we can do, Doctor? Where's Wesley?
He's in our quarters. I was tempted to give him a sedative.
You shouldn't.
I know, but he's my son. I love him.
He has the right to meet death awake.
Is that a male perspective?
Rubbish.
Wow, there are so many strange things about that.
Yeah. So
they're all going to freeze to death because they're all wearing like blankets, like light blankets. No one's really bundled up.
Yeah.
No one's huddling together. And
that's all they have.
It all like Beverly does is like look at a woman's face and like, yep, your eyes are still there. And then she talks about Wesley, about giving him a sedative.
Yeah, it's really dark.
It's so dark so that he'll like die like asleep. And Picard's like, well, he should face death awake. Like, that's when you realize what they were talking about. You're like, oh my God.
Yeah, you don't really realize it.
What the hell is going on here?
Yeah.
And then she calls him out for, like, the chauvinist thing, which is so, like, so strange. Is that the male perspective? And then he calls it rubbish, which is like, I guess he is a chauvinist.
I feel like sexism comes back at some point. Because, like, Pike in the original pilot the cage is like has that weird issue with women on the bridge.
Right, right.
So somewhere in the 23rd century, sexism just full bore.
Yeah, it kind of rears its ugly head, and yeah, Picard's still holding on to a little bit of that.
What's funny though is this conversation. It feels like they're in a restaurant. And they're debating what to get off the menu.
Yeah,
these are all great actors. So it's like, you know, Picard especially just does everything full. Like he commits to everything. But in this scene, it's like they're talking about something really with a lot of gravity, and there's none of that.
Well, because we are so deep in this episode. We're 33 minutes out of, you know, 45 minutes into this episode.
Act three, almost.
And this is, we're at act three, and just now, they burned through an entire half hour getting to the important stuff. They all sat around and said, well, there's a Ferengi ship, yeah, and we can't talk to them. And then they get to the good stuff, like, oh, we're on this planet, and we're all our power's being drained. We're going to die.
Yeah.
Now, they have that one with the...
That should be the midpoint.
It should be the midpoint. They had that one with the Negus. Well, first of all, they did it in the Corbomite maneuver.
Okay, right.
When, remember, like you have three of your Earth minutes. Yeah. And then they did that... Nope, the Negus. What was that? Nagilum. Nagilum in, the first season. Remember, there was that face in the clouds? It's like... I'm going to kill you all in 12 minutes. So make whatever peace you want. It's basically the Corbomite maneuver all over
again. Yeah.
And he was just testing them.
Another weird energy being.
Yeah, another weird energy being, trying to understand what death is and all this sort of stuff. But this is we're so deep in this episode and they just sort of resign themselves. There is nothing they can do and there's nothing they try to do.
Yeah.
And it is again, first season of, I guess this is how we're just going to die.
Yeah, and Picard's such a problem solver that he's not active at all.
He's not active at all. He doesn't.
Riker gets all the active stuff.
Well, this is first season two, right, where they're really trying to figure out, they were going to, Picard stays in the ship, he's the intellect, and Riker goes on the planet, he is the bravado.
Yeah.
And we see that in the last quarter of this episode when we have this other weird thing that shows up. I guess we missed that. Oh no, we still have that thing. So this weirdo guy shows up. They start trying to shoot each other, and then this weirdo guy shows up. This face, the kind of like this Wizard of Oz.
It feels
face.
Like the proto Undiscovered Country, or not Undiscovered, Final Frontier, Star Trek V.
Oh, yeah.
God, yeah.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like Gene Roddenberry had that idea.
Yeah.
And still wanted to use it. He didn't know he was going to do that in the fifth movie yet. So it goes into this.
We'll just put this in this, yeah. Oh, so the strange face shows up. Swirling energy face. Okay, so this is all...
Who asked the question?
A guardian of the T'Kong Empire.
All right, so then he forms himself into, humanoid form. And this would have been kind of cool to have this weirdo guy show up the second act or something, right?
Yeah.
But he shows up at the end, and then he starts asking them all these weird questions.
And they aren't actively looking for him. It'd be one thing if they were looking for him, in Star Trek V, and they got to the end, and then they meet the wizard.
Yeah.
But he's not a part of the plot at all until now.
He is such an afterthought of this. It's like they discover all their energy weapons are being drawn into crystals, which they couldn't figure out the very first time. Something's changed all of a sudden, which is so weird. Because their lasers or their phasers and the laser whips are being all drawn into the crystals all of a sudden. And it's like, oh, something's changed. Like, wait a minute. These crystals have been drawing energy from the ships. You should know that.
Yeah.
And now, because you're firing phasers, it's just this. That should have been part of the mystery. Like, they should have landed on this planet, run the Ferengi, they're firing at each other, and then the crystals start drawing energy from them. And then it starts drawing from the ships.
Okay, yeah.
Right? Because that makes more sense. Because we start out small, and then it escalates to something bigger.
Right.
This, we're starting with something big. It's like both ships are going to die. And then we escalate to something small. It's our phasers are being, drawn away.
Yeah.
And then this weirdo shows up. So he challenges them, to a question. There's this back and forth where, if you want to join the T'Kan Empire, and then Data has this long thing saying that they're part of the Age of Makto or the Age of Batsu. We need to listen to that part. This is
And he's probably talking about supernova. They do reference the art of war in this.
They do. Oh yeah, they do.
We are forever.
Data. Please repeat the file. It is a matter of record, Portal. In the age of Mokto, the central star of the Takan Empire destabilized.
There has never been an age of Mokto.
In fact, there have been many ages which have come and passed since Mokto.
This is the age of Bastur.
I'm afraid not.
This is such weird back and forth that like has no relevance right now, right? So you're just either talking to a computer or to some humanoid creature.
Well, they're trying to establish how much time that thing has been locked up.
Right.
Yeah.
But we already know that since we know that 600,000 years ago that the Takan Empire was destroyed. The other weird thing is that they say earlier, the Takan Empire had the ability to move stars around. Okay. Like they say that. And then how did they die? Well, their star destabilized and killed them all. It's like, can't you guys move stars? Like, like how is that? How do you die by like, and are you all on one planet? It's sort of like the whole thing with the Kelvin universe,
yes, where the supernova
destroyed the entire Romulan Empire, basically, if we don't, because...
That's so J.J. Abrams.
Maybe this was J.J.'s...
Everything explodes in one dramatic...
Exactly, and there's no understanding of like spatial relationships between light years and stuff. All right, so
takes his hood down.
So he takes his hood down because that's a good thing to do. He wants to fight someone, and the Ferengi say, "Or you got to fight this guy." And so then, he offers a Riker a challenge.
But this one first. In the fashion the Empire has always challenged savages.
I guess they're savages.
For battle, come to me!
No! That's an order.
More shouty
you
Riker.
Have a single chance for life. One only. What is the answer to my challenge? I offer a thought. He will triumph who knows when to fight and when not to fight.
He raises his little spear above his head.
You are being tested, Riker. What is the answer?
How do you know my name?
And then he goes in fast motion, swings the axe, and it comes inches away from Riker's head. And he doesn't flinch.
You are facing fate with composure. But what is the answer to my challenge?
Fear is the true enemy, the only enemy.
All right, so again, this is all so bonkers, right? So he poses this weird question, and then the answer is fear, but I don't think that's the real answer, is it? I mean, he will triumph who knows when to fight and when not to fight. First of all, that's not a question. It's sort of a statement. And then he says, I have a thought, and he says, what's the answer, Riker? And then Riker like says, how do you know my name? Which is such a random,
I was wondering that as an audience member as I was watching this. It's like, did he establish who he was?
Yeah.
And Riker asks it, and then it's still not answered.
Now, is this a quote from Sun Tzu? Like, he will triumph who knows when to fight and when not to fight?
I know the quote, if you know yourself and you know your enemy, you will win 100% of the time. That's Sun Tzu.
Right.
That's in The Art of War. I don't know if that quote specifically is.
But that's so strange. I'm going to put this down. Let me see. Maybe it'll come up.
Okay.
Okay, so it is a Sun Tzu quote.
So he knows Riker's name. He knows The Art of War.
Yeah, he does know The Art of War, but then he's like, this Sun Tzu is very interesting. He's like, you should know. You quoted him. And evidently you've had it either in your memory banks for 600,000 years, which means Sun Tzu is an alien from the Takan Empire.
Right.
Or I guess he read his mind and then kind of quizzed him on whether or not he remembered that.
But doesn't he challenge everybody like that?
What
would he say to the Ferengi if he had to ask them?
Yeah,
rule of acquisition?
Yeah, what's the ninth rule of acquisition? I know that. Oh, good. It's such a baffling exchange because then he reveals that he can read their minds.
Right.
And it's like, oh, well, if you could read our minds, you should know that, like, everything they said is kind of a lie. And why did we tell you all this stuff?
Yeah, yeah.
But then he's totally chill. Then he's just kind of, you know.
Yep. They have to defuse this because it's the end of the episode. Minds,
yeah.
Your mind holds interesting thoughts. Know your enemy and know yourself. And you will always be victorious.
Yeah.
Why that thought? And who is this Sun Tzu you revere?
You just quoted him! What are you doing? Yeah. This is so strange. And can we also point out that this is a young dude?
Yeah, he's definitely aged up.
With all this weird age makeup on? Because when he's in Star Trek VI, he looks like a young guy. I mean, he's like, you know, the Romulan ambassador. They don't show him that much. But he's like in his 50s. And here he looks like he's in his 90s. Get a 90-year-old guy!
Yeah.
It's so strange.
There's plenty of old guys in Star Trek.
Yeah, I know. Well, I mean, I think probably Picard is older than this guy in this. All right, so they do this. And then everything's fine.
Old Chinese philosopher from ancient Earth history.
You must tell me more of this wisdom. So much like our own.
Gladly, but first our starship. Can you release it?
It is released. All power is restored.
Okay, then we get back to the ship. The ship powers up. Because they did nothing to them. Picard is sleeping.
They're rewarded for doing nothing.
Yeah. It's like a child sleeping on this console. These two goofballs are asleep on the consoles.
Not a moment too soon, Joe.
So Geordi and Data both went down.
Yeah.
And the two schlubs are just there.
I mean, Captain.
So the only reason I'm pointing that out is that because Beverly chooses, so she was going to give Wesley a sedative, and then Beverly instead chooses not to, but then chooses to die on the bridge
right.
in Riker's seat with Jean-Luc. And they're all just like asleep there. It's so weird. Don't they have like oxygen? Like,
you'd think that they'd have oxygen like on an airplane. Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess they're not cold. I guess the cold isn't a problem because they're all pretty, they'll, you know, right. No one's bundled up.
Not on the bridge. It doesn't get to the bridge. The bridge has, the heat rises.
The heat rises, yeah. So
I can buy that.
Everyone
sure.
at the bottom is freezing and the heat is all in that little saucer section.
Yeah.
So then there's this long segment.
Oh, yeah, it's not over yet.
It's not over yet. Like, this should be it. So we're at the 42-minute mark and there's another, like, 4 minutes where Riker's just talking, and then the Ferengi are dancing around, and
I gave those words to this human.
Oh, God, and they're just so overacting here. I mean, I'm sorry. This is, I know they were directed to do this, because this is so bananas.
Yeah. He said human, so that also originated.
Yes, the human thing. Well, I think Damon Tara coined that, the human.
Okay.
But Armin definitely leaned into that.
Yeah.
And then this...
What if they never learn?
This portal is just so nice. He's like the Wizard of Oz. Like, he's like a Willy Wonka. Now he's nice.
Yeah.
I see them much as we were several hundred years ago.
And these guys are jostling to get in front of the... I don't know what they're doing.
Just do more of that. Just act big. But we can
hardly hate like, they're trying to get in front of themselves, which is so strange. I don't understand. They're like jostling to get in front of themselves. Destroy you. Well, our value... It is such a camera thing, right? It's like, try to get in front of them, but like, don't get in the camera. Like, yeah. Yeah, like, so like they're
off to the side, you know, in the background.
They're trying to do a little stage action.
There. Yeah. Now, they follow the camera. Yeah.
Yeah. This is, I like this. What will you, with your empire gone?
The universe exists to me to create life. I shall sleep.
The universe exists to me to create life. I shall sleep. What does that mean? That is such a... Is that like... So the universe exists to me to make life. So that's my... I was trying to think about... It exists to me to create life. So I will create life. And then in the very next sentence, I will sleep.
Yeah, I'm lost.
And do what? I don't understand.
Well, as he finished, there's an ellipsis.
Until needed again.
Until needed again.
But why don't you create life? I don't understand. I mean, like, that's what you're supposed to... First of all, that's not what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to be like a portal or a barrier or something for the Takan Empire, which you failed at,
right?
Obviously. And you got no, like, system updates to tell you that no one's here anymore to like, block or whatever. So you're still carrying out these things, but then you have this other objective to create life. Again, it seems like it's... This is my belief that, like, there are so many different parts of this draft which just never quite got resolved or added in.
Yeah, I feel like they wrote it in a weekend.
Yeah.
And shot it in a weekend.
Very possible. It's like this part should have been in the front, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, the two people show up, and then he's like, I'm going to put you all through a bunch of tests, you know, and then, oh, what's my purpose now? I mean, because he's sort of like the Guardian of Forever a little bit. Yeah. He's sort of like the Return of the Archons, where it's like, I'm without purpose now, but I'll go wander the world and create life. They do this in a lot of episodes beyond this. There's a lot of these, you know, evolved creatures who are like, I've lost my purpose.
Right.
Who's that guy who lived on the planet with the woman? There was that super being, like, I think it's in the first season as well. Maybe it's the second season, where he looks like a human and he lives with this woman, but he's actually this super being who accidentally killed all these people.
Okay, that's
this, this like this this race of people, and then he just anyway.
Yeah.
So and then like he decides to go off and live his life. So, and then they go back to the ship.
There's that one with the aliens that created every race. Isn't there the one that like showed that Klingons share DNA with another?
Oh right, the chase. Yeah,
yeah.
Where those
that
guys
was another being that was. Archive, wasn't it?
Yeah, they're like the progenitors of everything, and then, and then they're kind of like, okay, now we're going to move on, and like at least they have a purpose of creating life.
Yeah.
But this guy, he's totally unhinged from anything. Is he there to test people? Is he there to create life? Is he? It's just kind of madness. And then we end with them.
Yeah, and then more quips.
More quips.
There are some hilarious buttons at the end of episodes in season one.
Something to write home about.
Yeah, that
it's very human.
The T9 energy converter has been beamed aboard secure, sir. The Ferengi complained bitterly, but one final roar from Portal convinced them.
Like, we even care about that.
Yeah.
Like, the T9 converter, thank goodness we got that.
Right, that thing.
Permission to beam a box of Data's Chinese finger puzzles over to the Ferengi. A thank you for all they tried to do.
And this is such a dick move, sending over finger puzzles to the Ferengi. And then Picard's okay with it.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, go ahead and do that.
They almost killed us.
I know, it's like, ah, ha, ha.
What, that's great cinematography right there.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. And LaForge has his fingers caught in the Chinese finger puzzle, and so does Riker.
Yeah.
At the end. So they are all trapped in this and they've learned nothing.
Right.
They've learned nothing from this episode.
That's a great metaphor for this episode.
It is. It's just this finger puzzle that nothing comes out of. Really, they should have like broken it in half and like, haha, we did it.
Yeah.
That's what it is. All right. Well, I don't know how to sum this up. There's so many good little bits in this, Aaron. I mean, you know, from crazy Riker and like Data, like being so un-Data, and Geordi being bananas.
Yeah.
But this is such a shakedown episode,
right?
Where they don't know who they are.
Yeah, totally.
Nobody knows.
The writers don't know. Nobody knows.
Yeah, it's. I mean, and I've mentioned this before, but when I did The Invisible Man, and I, you know, because that's the frame of reference I have, but it was like the second or third episode, and I think I've mentioned this before. You don't get this kind of information, but I went. It was like the second or third episode, and I was acting in a scene, and I didn't know how to play it. So I went to the director, and I was like, "Hey, man, how should I play this? Should I play this like this or this?" And because directors are hired in like on a weekly basis, and they're actually low on the totem pole, he looked at me and said, "I don't know. How do you want to play it?" And I was like, "Oh my god!" Like he doesn't know either. So I suddenly realized that. These guys, you have to sort of figure it out yourself for the first like 10 episodes.
Yeah.
Until the writers get back all the episodes, they say, oh, that's what we should write.
Right. When it's all cut together and it's aired, then you see the feedback. And
yeah, yeah. You get the editors editing it, and they take the best takes, you know, because you do different stuff.
Yeah.
But these guys, this was really like a shotgun approach. I'm like, yeah. Let's just try anything.
Right.
Let's be crazy Geordi. Let's be kind of annoying Data, you know, and really angry Worf. And,
yeah.
And see what happens, and most of this failed.
Almost all of it failed. Yeah,
it was mostly course corrections from here on out.
For sure.
Yeah. So I mean, aside from the introduction of the Ferengi, I don't know, and the lack of Wesley.
Yeah,
which is probably a positive.
For sure.
Although, wouldn't it have been amazing to see her try to give him a sedative?
Yeah, yeah.
That would have been bad.
He doesn't have any lines in the episode. He's just unconscious on a bed.
like Picard shows up to her room or something like that.
Yeah.
And, like, he's asleep. Like, Wesley's asleep. And then, like, Picard's...
They're talking over him.
They're talking over him. And then, because, like, they are... Like, there's a little bit of flirtation there, too, where yeah. She's like... Oh, you know, we're alive, Jean. I'm sorry, yeah, Captain. Yeah. Like, what if they had been like, let's consummate this. This is yeah. Our big chance here. While Wesley's like totally knocked out.
Didn't they just do that though in the previous episode?
In the like the Naked Time or the Naked yeah. Now? I don't think they did. No, that was Data and Yar who did.
Yeah,
although they were flirty.
There was one where there was like a date though. Oh no, that's when Picard gets impersonated by someone else.
Oh,
and then he asks her on a date. It's like the Bat Picard.
Oh, that's right. I was just watching that one too. Yeah, where Picard's in a...
That's a different episode. Yeah.
He's in a holding cell? Is that the one?
Yes, and there's...
I think that's one. Or maybe it's the one where he's trying to take the ship into the...
I think it's the one where he's in the holding cell with all the aliens.
Yeah.
Impersonator Picard.
Right, right. I was yeah. That one came on just after that one. After this one too, I think. And then like that one girl who was the ensign... Split into three aliens. It was yes. So badass. Like, that's yeah. Actually really cool. It's like, right. Oh, we're three aliens. We just, you know, combined to one.
Yeah.
Why didn't we talk about that one? That one seemed pretty cool.
Well, this is more than enough conversation material for
We've talked far too long about this one. This one...
And there's a lot to unpack, though. We had to...
We talked an hour and 10 minutes about this. This was yeah. Completely wrong. We did the wrong thing on this, but that's okay. I don't yeah. Mind this. I don't mind this.
I think this had to be addressed, this whole episode.
100%. So. Yeah. There's no downside to this. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, Aaron, thanks so much for coming in here. And
I had to do this one, so yeah.
We had to fix this. Yeah. All right. So, and thank you for listening. I'm sorry there's been a little bit of a lag there. As I said, I got a cold and we stuck with the movie stuff. We have some more stuff. I have a deep dive on Bridges coming up. If you haven't been to the Facebook page, check it out because we have this cool kind of round of eight Bridges. And what's your favorite bridge, Aaron?
I think I was heavy on the D, so I think that's the one that won in the end.
I did like
the two finalists though. I like the Enterprise A a lot in general.
Mm-hmm.
And the Abrams Bridge, you know, I like it.
The Abrams Bridge,
the Apple Store Bridge.
Yeah, the Apple Store Bridge. Yeah. I mean, it is kind of fun. It's, you know, if you go to the Facebook page, you'll see that it came down to the Enterprise, the movie, the Star Trek, the original series movie Enterprise Bridge. The Enterprise A, we'll say, for better or worse. And then the Enterprise D Bridge. And the Enterprise D Bridge just smoked everybody. It never got challenged by
I've always liked the design of that bridge. It's just so, you know, there's so many... It's a good evolution of the original. And, like, the idea of having three chairs instead of one big captain's chair.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the arch is iconic. And
It's... And, you know, it's interesting. It is so, like... reflective of how Roddenberry started to look at his series is more of a utopia than more of a like a military
yeah,
show.
Yeah.
So I looked at all of them. I mean, the one that I cut out one.
The Discovery one. Enterprise Bridge? I don't think that was...
No, I put that one in
there. Oh, you did?
Okay. I did put... I was going to take it
one.
Out.
I just didn't win.
No. I like that one too, although it's huge. That one's yeah. Bigger than all of them combined, I think.
They had that big wide shot test. Like, they milked that first shot of that bridge.
Oh, yeah. It's gigantic. It's huge. I do like the Kelvin bridges. And I also like, from a aesthetic standpoint, or just like from a functional standpoint, the Defiant is actually the most practical, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's like forward-facing, and it's small, and like everybody, like the Discovery Bridge, man, if you have to get from one station to the other, you've got like a good 12 seconds to run there.
Yeah.
You better hope you get there in time. At least they don't have any steps. I was looking at like the Voyager has a two-step station. Because, like, the TOS and, I think, TOS and, oh, yeah, and Enterprise also, the NX-01, have, like, steps. You have to go up steps and railings. But Voyager has two steps to get up. Like, you're going to fall off that thing.
When you walk in.
Like Tuvok's station, it has, like, two steps up.
Right.
It's so weird. It's like, why do you need steps?
Yeah. I mean, I like that bridge. It's not my favorite one. But.
No, I don't like it. I mean, they solved a couple of problems. We'll talk about that later. You've already got a little sneak preview of that. But and you can probably hear this dog barking in the background. So we're going to end it right now. Thank you so much for listening. Check out our Facebook page. I'm Mike McCafferty.
I'm Aaron Moles.
And I just want to talk about
Star Trek.
Comes in, everybody rides.
Your daddy can put them up, can he?
I meant to say that it should be hauled away as garbage.